Today we're going to talk about the kind of worship the sons of Israel had. Do you remember what their main kind of worship was? How did the sons of Israel worship before the Lord himself came into the world? Do you remember? What were some of the things they did? Well, there was two main things, and one was added to it. The main things were sacrifice and burnt offering. And they would usually do them in this order. They would begin with a sin offering or a guilt offering, which was a sacrifice. And then they would have sort of the center of the worship, the whole burnt offering. And they added another offering to the whole burnt offering. It was called the gift offering, which was unleavened bread. And together with that, they would pour on the wine. Sounds familiar, doesn't it? Bread and wine. And then they would usually end with what was called a peace offering or a thanksgiving offering. And this again was a sacrifice. And there was a difference between sacrifices and burnt offerings. And the difference was this. In a sacrifice, not everything was put on the altar. Only the best parts, the kidneys within, the fat, the call upon the liver, the best parts were put on the altar, and the blood was sprinkled around. But the rest was not burned up on the altar. The first one, the sin offering, was really interesting, because they didn't even bring much of it into the tabernacle. Instead, they would take the offering, they'd go out of the camp, and there they would burn the hide and the flesh and the bones. But then they would bring the best parts in, and they would put them on the altar for the Lord. A sin offering, a guilt offering. The reason they burnt those things outside the camp was because those were the bad things that they were meant to leave behind when they came to the worship of the Lord. But the burnt offering was very different. They would take everything. They would cut it into sections, put it on the altar, and then what would happen? What did they do after they put it on the altar? Remember what it's called? It's called a burnt offering. And they would burn it. But often before they would burn it, they would put bread and wine on it. That bread and wine was what was grateful. And when they burned it, what happened? Do you remember? What would happen when they burned it? And they burned all of it, everything. It was sometimes called a whole burnt offering or a holocaust. Everything was burned. What would happen to it as it was burned? They even named the offering this. It's actually not called a burnt offering in Hebrew. It's called a going up, because as it burned, the smoke and the savor would go up. And what was especially grateful was called a restful smell. And the mincha, or the gift offering that was there, is named from the word rest. For it was restful, because this was all the Lord's offering. Everything in the offering was given to the Lord, nothing from man, which was to recognize that the Lord is everything. Remember the first and great commandment? Thou shalt love the Lord with all thy heart, and with all thy soul, and with all thy strength, with all thy mind. That is what's being represented by the burnt offering. Everything. We don't love him with just part of our mind. We love him with all of our mind. And then to end, because the worship was finished and everything was the Lord's, then they had another sacrifice. But in this case, they offered the same good parts on the altar. Actually, the word sacrifice means put on the altar. And they would put the fat and the kidneys and the call upon the liver on the altar along. And then what happened? They would burn that part. But instead of burying the part outside or burning it outside the camp, what did they do with the rest of it? And this is really interesting. They were allowed to eat it. And the priest, before he ate it, this is for the priest offering, they did two things with it. They would take the hind quarter, and they would go back and forth with it. It was called a wave offering. And the writings tell us this is actually means to give life. And one would be the life from truth. And then there was the other one where they'd take the chest, the breast part of it, and they would lift it up, an uplifting. Sometimes you see ministers do that with the offering. An uplifting means to receive and get life from good. Because in the very end, after we've worshiped the Lord and we've changed our life, we're able to receive these things. And so they're called peace offerings and gift offerings. So why don't we sacrifice animals today? Why don't we have an altar here where we're burning these things? Because the Lord came into the world. Those were things called representatives. The Israelites didn't even know what they meant. They knew they were holy acts. They would do them in a holy way. And there was worship in them. But they were killing animals. Do you think the Lord wants us to kill animals for worship? No, we're allowed to kill animals and eat them, the writings say. But we're not to sit there and worship with the blood and the fat and the burnings. But we are allowed to worship the Lord. And so what was going on with the sacrifices and the burnt offerings, there was worship there, but in another way, we worship the Lord in a very similar way. What are the things we do in worship? Do you know? What are some of the things we do in worship? I think some of you know, right? When you stand up, what do? You sing, right? And when you're on your knees, what do? What do you do when you're on your knees? You pray, don't you? We pray on our knees. We sing on our feet. We sing devoutly. We pray with humility. Those are parts of worship. What's another part of worship, which we did today to even come to worship? It's called coming to church, frequenting temples. Or perhaps we open the Word at home and we sing and we pray to the Lord. And there's still one more part of worship. I'll read you the list that is given to us from the Doctrine of Charity. It says, the first is frequenting temples. The second is listening to sermons and, of course, the reading of the Word. The third is devoutly singing and praying on the knees. And the fourth is taking the Holy Supper. Those are the four things the Heavenly Doctrine tells us about worship. What part of worship do you think is the first part? Like the sin and the guilt offering, where we leave part of our things. Actually, even before that, what's the first thing we do for worship in the church? We come to church. And do you know what the offering means? It means to come near. We come to church to be near the Lord. That's what all offering means. And of course, the offering we give is also brought by the man, the usher, upward to be brought and lifted up to the Lord. It's an approach. We need to approach the Lord to worship Him. That's actually the first thing, and that's what's in all the offerings. That's why they're called offerings, which means to come near or approach. Then the first thing, when the Word is opened, what do we do? What do we do when the Word is opened? You probably noticed that. The Lord says the Lord is in the temple of His holiness. Keep silent before Him all the earth. And we kneel down. We say prayers. Very, very much like the sin offering and the guilt offering, because we're praying to the Lord because we need His help, because we know we got bad things with us that we need to put those away. And so in a sense, we've left outside the camp the part that shouldn't come to church, the bad things, and we come and we offer to the Lord something that's like a sin offering, a guilt offering, and that's the prayer when we pray to the Lord. And then what comes next after the prayers? There's some singing. But the next part is the reading of the Word and also the preaching from the Word. That's a very important part of worship. And the writings tell us that's related to the whole burnt offering, which we'll talk about later. And then, what about singing? What part do you think that's related to? What do you think the singing is? When we feel the joy of the Lord, when we feel His peace, when we want to give thanks. That's like the sacrifices at the end of the offering. They're like the sacrifices of peace and thanksgiving. And we can partake of it. Now, you notice something interesting. We partake of two parts of that worship, the prayer and the singing, and in the other part, we're silent. Now, the connection between the reading of the Word and the preaching from the Word and the whole burnt offering is told to us beautifully in this teaching from the Apocalypse Explained. It says, because burnt offerings and sacrifice signify celestial things, the burnt offering, the celestial things, are the highest things from love, and the sacrifices spiritual things, or the middle things from truth, the law was given that burnt offerings should be males without blemish, either from the flock or the herd, but the sacrifice could either be from males or female animals. And this gives a reason for this. It talks about love to the Lord. It talks about the marriage of what is good and true. And it talks about the truth from the Lord being united to his good. And it goes on to say, but when males and females are given, this is love to the neighbor. So the whole burnt offering is love to the Lord. And it says, this is the burnt offerings of males without blemish signify genuine truths from the word and from doctrine or teaching out of the word, which have been enjoined to the good of love to the Lord. And notice there's not a female animal here because the good of love to the Lord was represented by the altar and its fire. And so they would put down a male animal on the altar. That represented the Lord's truth itself. And what is it conjoined to? The pure love of the Lord. That's why it was a whole burnt offering. Everything in the Word is the Lord's. And what's interesting, we often think about the teaching, the reading of the Word and the teaching as being the more intellectual part, the part we think about more, right? But actually, the whole burnt offering is what is celestial. It's the highest thing. It's what is love. Because in the one part, which represents love to the neighbor, which is praying and which is singing, which is the part what we all do together like neighbors, as it says in the reading, like brothers and sisters, part of our good is in that, which is good. We brought love to the Lord. It's the love coming from us. But when we're listening to the Word, the love we feel now is the Lord's itself. Because in the Word is not only truth, but love. And so when we hear the Word being read, when it is being preached, we're silent. But the part that is from the Lord, the love can enter our heart. As a matter of fact, there's a teaching that says there's really not much difference between dead worship and living worship in the external form, because they who are in truths do the same things, for they hear preachings, go to the Holy Supper, pray on their knees in evening and morning, besides other things which are common and customary in worship. Therefore, they who are in dead worship have no need of nothing more than to learn truths and live according to them. And so the remaining things which are ready to die may be made strong and given life. And so that's really the part of the worship where we hear the word is the whole burnt offering. It is all from the Lord. It's the Lord's truth and his love coming together and conjoining us with the Lord. The first part is us singing to the Lord or praying to the Lord. But the second part, which is the part that is the Lord's truth and the Lord's love coming to us and conjoining with us. Now, all of this, of course, has a deeper meaning. And we can see it if we just think that there's two things we need to do in life in charity, which are represented by the guilt offering and by the peace offering. The first thing of charity is to shun evils as sins. So when we're praying, let us pray with that in mind. Let us take that opportunity in our worship to think about the evils we need to shun. Because as we pray together, that's an act of charity. It represents the brothers and sisters coming to the Lord. And the most important act of charity, or actually not the most, but the first thing of charity, is to flee from evils because they're wrong, because they're sins against God. And when we're singing, we can think of the second act of charity. What's that? What's the second thing of charity? After we've shunned evils, now we can do good to the people around us. We can perform our use in an honest, sincere way. That is like the peace offerings and the thanksgiving offerings, that we can eat together, that we can share and love together. But there's also something very, very important in the worship as we're reading, and that is regeneration. As we hear what the Lord says, think of how these truths can come into our life and be conjoined with good, and the Lord can regenerate us. It's not something we do. Just as when we're listening to the word, we're not very active. But it is something the Lord does. That's the most holy thing. And of course, in worship, they're called glorifications of the Lord. Because the sacrifices and the burnt offerings, we're told, especially represented the Lord. When we think of the Lord on the cross, in a way, it's like a sacrifice. He's putting away the last things that we're wrong. He's fighting the hells and putting away everything that's evil and false. That's like the sin offering. And then what? And then on the Sabbath, he's glorified. Everything. They went to find his body. It was all glorified. Nothing was left in the tomb except the coverings. The Lord himself was a whole offering. He is human, was made totally divine. And then we can think of the last part. When the Lord came back after he was glorified and he shared bread with them. When he gave them the bread, remember, and the fish. This is the Lord working, setting up his kingdom with us. And so when we're in those different aspects of worship, prayer, and hearing and the preaching and reading from the word, and also in singing, let us think about those things in our life and those things in the Lord's life. And let us not forget the most holy act of worship, which was the most grateful part of all of it, which was the bread and the wine. And when we get to be adults, we can approach the Lord and take his holy supper, which represents conjunction with the Lord and entrance into heaven. Amen.